Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning. My name is Jason Clark. I am one of the lead pastors here of the Bridge Church, along with my brother-in-law, Daniel Cazeneve, and we make up the leadership team. And if this is your first time with us, man, we're grateful to have you. Those that keep coming back, we're just grateful to keep adding to the family. As we say time and time again, we don't believe this was a ministry church. This was going to be a family. And if we wanted to inject ourselves into Bluffton, South Carolina, we had to realize that it would take everyone, just not one or two. And as a family, we want to say thank you for being here with us this morning. And last week, Pastor Daniel introduced us into a new series where we were going to spend 3 weeks leading up to Easter in a conversation over gaining ground to realize that spiritually, the moments that we accept Christ, the moment that we have a started relationship with Christ, that is not the end game. That is not the end state. That is not all we're called to. We're called to deepen this relationship with Christ, and we're called to continue to be more advancement of the gospel into society. And we realize that that does just not come from day one. That the moment of accepting Christ is day one, and to gain ground from that, there would definitely be a series of tests that we would endure. There would definitely be battles we face. There would be opposition. So we want to spend 3 weeks leading into Easter to really speak on the concept of how do I gain ground in my life? And as Pastor Daniel introduced last night, individually, how can I gain ground? How can I gain ground in my spiritual walk with Christ? How does my faith deepen? How does my knowing of Christ become stronger and more in depth? And also collectively as the local body. And when I say local body, I mean all the churches collectively. How do we gain ground for the kingdom of Christ? How do we continue to push the name of Jesus throughout the communities? How do we continue to interject ourselves into society and meet society where they are and share the gospel with them and share the good news and the hope of Jesus Christ? And today we're going to look at the concept that we will have opposition as we gain ground in our lives. We will have opposition as we gain ground spiritually. We will have opposition if we gain ground as a body. We have to be open to the fact that we will face opposition. And when I say opposition, often we go to the physical sense of opposition. The individuals that who we could in our lives who sometimes like to have negative things to say about us, who want to drag us down, who want to keep bringing us backwards and not propel us forward. And as I say all these descriptive words, I'm sure even in this season of your life or in a past season of your life, you instantly could go to a name and say, yep, I felt it. I felt the opposition from that person who never wanted me to become anything more, could always remind me of where I came from, could always tell me of what I would never be able to do, could always tell me what I wasn't capable of. And opposition is really good at that in the physical sense. But when we talk opposition, when we talk the things that we're going to face, the battles that we're going to face, what's going to really come at us, we have to understand that there is an invisible war around us. There is a spiritual war around us. There is a war of good versus evil. There is a good versus evil pool at all times of your life that we will face every day of our life in some form or fashion. And sometimes it does come in the physical sense where the devil is using someone else to come at you. But we have to understand that the opposition in our lives can easily be these people. But as we face this spiritual warfare, it is a war that is going to be raised against us just as it's begun since the beginning of time. You can go back to the story of creation and you can find spiritual warfare from the very beginning as soon as humanity was created. And Paul, in Ephesians 6, Paul wrote it this way. He said, "For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens." Everything that occurs in the visible and the physical world is directly connected to the wrestling match waged in the invisible spiritual war. The effects of this war that we see into our lives and that we unveil them to the world is when we get into these strange and damaged relationships that enter our life, where we have emotional instability, we have mental fatigue, physical exhaustion, and the many areas of our life. And if you think about it, let's add to this list these lovely words that we like to put in: anxiety, depression, suicidal ideations. This is spiritual warfare, where it can battle your mind one moment at another to always remind you that you're never going to be good enough, or that you're never going to reach what you're trying to reach, or that you're going to stop right here and that's as far as you can go. The enemy is great at what it does. And many of us with this battle, it will make us feel pinned down by anger, unforgiveness, pride, comparisons, insecurities, discord, fear, and the list continues to go on. That once the enemy engages our minds, He continues to engage our minds until he gets what he wants out of us. And the primary nemesis behind all of this, the nemesis behind all of these outcomes, is the devil himself. If you take it back into the Garden of Eden, he brought upon mankind the curse of death. In Bethlehem, he hoped to kill man's Savior, the infant Christ. In the wilderness, he tempted the Lord to abandon his mission. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he hoped betrayal would demoralize and delivery. On Calvary, he hoped to isolate him. But on resurrection morning, just like we said in the promo video, our hope is in Jesus, and he rose from the dead and defeated death. But the spiritual war around you is alive. And you have to understand that this is war. This is a war that, as a follower of Christ, you are actively involved in. This is where the forces of evil, just like Pastor Daniel talked about last week in John 10:10, they want to come find you. They want to steal from you. They want to kill from you, and they want to destroy you. They want to take everything you have ever stood for, every ounce of faith in Jesus Christ you've ever had, every bit of hope you've had in humanity, and he wants to destroy it. He wants to leave you broken. And it is a harsh topic. It is a hard subject sometimes to hear that this is a very down topic. But if we're not aware of the battle around us, we will be consumed and we will be eaten and we will be killed and we will be destroyed. In 1 Peter, it says the devil walks around roaring like a lion looking to devour. That's what he wants to do. He wants to devour you. An enemy that as we observe the society we live in and what it has flooded our society with the absolute evil thoughts, that now we have to wake up and worry about the school systems when we see mass shootings, that we worry about places that we used to go on vacation, that there could be the mass taking of human life. The enemy has injected himself deep into the minds of many, many people. And this war against humanity, not only the human life, but the spiritual life as well, is live and in front of us. This is the enemy we are facing. A ruthless, demonic, selfish enemy whose only ideals is to destroy you and destroy advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. An enemy who personally wants you to have doubt. He wants you to doubt God. He wants you to lose your faith. He wants you to stop following him. He wants you to become relaxed in your walk with Jesus Christ. He wants you to put Jesus just slightly above everyone else you know, not the supreme king that he is in our lives. That's what he wants to do. And when you go back to the Garden of Eden, when you go back to the first verbal temptation that was ever given into the Bible, Genesis 3:1, if you have your Bible, you can turn to it, because if you do have your Bible, I'd love for you to underline or highlight this section. But in Genesis 3:1, he introduces this great line. And the serpent said, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And if you have your Bible, highlight, "Did God really say?" Because that phrase of deception is the same phrase that we are deceived by even today. Did God really say that specifically was a sin? Did God specifically say I could not do that? Did God specifically say that if I associate that with that, I am not within the will of God? The twisting and perversion of God's scriptures have deceived us since the beginning, and they still do currently today. And if I left that thought alone right there and let you think to your own, each of you could come up with your own thought where you've heard the twisting of God's scripture, the perversion of God's scripture, to condone someone's lifestyle. When the twisting of scripture takes place, it introduces a casting of doubt. Did God really say? Is that really what he intended? Was he sure? He didn't specifically say this was not a sin. And by doing this, we twist. And next thing you know, we have rewrote scripture. We have rewrote commandments given. We have rewrote law to condone the life that we live in. The same deception from Genesis 3:1 is the same deception alive. And hear me out. That is not the Holy Spirit speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is never asking you to twist his scriptures or debate what is in the book that he had his hand on from beginning to end. Never has he asked us that. And it's not the Holy Spirit. God has not called us to continue to live a life of sin, which is what spiritual warfare wants to introduce into your life, to continue to do it and to ask for forgiveness. Continue to live the life and just keep using grace. Continue to live exactly how you've been living and just continue to reach out to the Father and say, please forgive me. No, that's not what he's asked. He's asked us to become a new creation. He's asked us to repent for our sins. As Peter stated on the day of Pentecost, as he was preaching to thousands, he said, each one of you must turn away from your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven and you will see God's gift, the Holy Spirit. Nowhere in Scripture is God asking people to sin. Understand, spiritual warfare is of the devil. It is not of the Holy Spirit talking to you to test you. This is the devil speaking to you. You have to understand the voice that is speaking to you is the devil's voice that is coming. He has given us freedom from the outcome of sin. He has given us freedom from what, if we live a grip of sin, will lead to at the end of our lives. Through the sacrifice of his son on a cross, through our repentance and his grace, we can have eternal life in him. We can fight spiritual battles with him. We can fight spiritual wars with him. But truly understand and hear me out that the deeper your relationship with Christ goes, the farther your walk is with Christ, the more you know about Christ, the more you pray to Christ, the more you read to Christ, the greater the attack that will come against you. The devil's not attacking those that don't oppose him. He's not doing it. He knows your name. When you advance the kingdom of God, when your relationship continues to draw closer, he knows who you are. Take it to the laws of combat. In combat, we don't go to a philosophy and a theory of, I'm just going to wipe out whatever I find. No, we zero it in and we prioritize targets. We know who is combating us, just as the devil knows who is combating him from pursuing evil into the world. I pulled this piece of scripture up this morning, and this is not where we're going to exactly teach from a long period of time, but I really wanted you to hear this piece of scripture as we talk about the fact that the devil will know your name the more you know Jesus. And the more you advance his kingdom, the devil will know your name. And in the book of Acts, verse 13 here, understand that what we're looking at is an individual who is attempting to use the name of Jesus to continue to pursue the same mission, the same things that he's seen done in driving out evil spirits. And as we go to verse 13, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered him, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. And if we go back to creation, naked was also referenced. When sin occurred, they were seen naked. They were ashamed. As here, the evil spirit is telling him, I know Jesus and I've heard of Paul. Why has he heard him? Because one is the savior of the universe and the other is preaching the gospel everywhere he goes to advance the gospel. That's why the evil spirit knows him. The closer you are personally, the more he's going to know your name. He knows who is doing God's work and he wants to defeat it so that the kingdom of God will not continue to advance by gaining any more ground using you. Understand this, it will be a personal attack against you. This is not a blanket concept of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is personal against you. And personally, I often find that the most attack times I have and the way that the devil gets at me is in my private conversation with Jesus Christ. When I pray and read his Bible, I have the most interjecting in my life of all times. And it comes from thoughts. It comes from this mental war where my time is being thrown off by very important things in my life. As I start to think about, did I get everything done my wife asked? My children, am I coming up to pick them up? Is all my time, everything scared away? Do I have all of that organized? Did I give my wife, did I get here? Did I get there? Right? All very important issues. But if my time with Jesus is not number one, then my time with them will be lessened. And he does a phenomenal job of always interjecting in my private one-on-one conversations with Jesus to interject all that I have going on in my day-to-day routine. And you may find yourself in that same spot where when you go to pray, here comes the interruption. When you go to read the Bible, here comes the interruption. They are deceptive tactics that he uses, and they're specifically timed and they're personalized. Hopes that you will fall prey on his demon ploy. And when you fall victim, you will miss out on your personal abundant life in Christ and all that he can provide for you. And these tactics, these ploys, is how the attack happens. He knows your weakness. He wants to expose your weakness. It's his foot in your door. It's his foot in my door. And you and I both allowed it in. We open the door by listening to the voice. We open the door by paying attention and listening to the voice of evil spirits and of the devil greater than we do of the Holy Spirit. We open the door for him to come in and run wild and wreak havoc in our life. The enemy attacks are always wrapped in the packaging of this deception, always designed to manipulate the truth. He wants to manipulate the truth about God and your value in him. He desires to lead you into a fellowship of sin. And once that fellowship occurs, he desires to continue to break your relationship with God. No matter where your walk is, understand this is speaking to you. Whether you have followed Christ for 25 years or for 5 minutes, he wants to break your relationship with him. Paul. Most have heard Paul that have been around, most that have opened their Bible at one point or another have heard the name Paul. Paul, as we know, was a man who on the road to Damascus saw a great light. He had a time where he met God. God spoke to him. And Paul was transformed. Paul, at one point in time in his life, was persecuting Christianity and stopping the advancement of the gospel and moved forward. And now Paul is advancement of the gospel. This is a man who introduces himself in many of his scriptures that he writes as a servant of God. As an apostle. And Paul wrote a very profound scripture. And if you have your Bibles, you can flip one more time. We're going to go to Romans chapter 7, verse 14. I want you to listen to the words as Paul is about to explain the power and the grip that sin has. And this should be an awareness and alertness to us to not put less of a value on the warfare that's around us, but a higher value that sin is serious. And its effects are serious, but its grip is powerful. Verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. And remind you, if you go to chapter 1, if you go to chapter 1 in Romans, he introduces Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. And here he is announcing himself as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is in sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delighted in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. A profound piece of scripture where a servant of Christ is announcing the grip and the power that sin has in his life. And it should announce to us that we must be aware and alert of the grip of power of sin in our lives. It is not a back burner issue. It is a front burner issue that I must look at on a daily basis. Paul, the man converted on the road to Damascus, the man who preached the gospel everywhere he went, who led missional movements throughout the world, he's saying, I am a prisoner of sin. It is taking advantage of the weakness of his flesh and has perverted the law to entice him to sin. He's telling us he desires to do good, but his flesh is naturally opposed to do good. We are sinful human beings. In the beginning, when sin was introduced, we all stood on that same platform that without God's grace, we would live a sinful life. Without following Christ, we would follow sin. The desperate struggle of the life of a follower of Christ to do what is right on his own power leads to complete frustration and failure. Hear me out again. You fighting this battle on your own, you will lose. Sin will win. The devil will win. If we don't own the weaknesses that we have, the weakness will own us. I'm gonna put it in another way. If you don't own your weakness, the devil will own you. If you do not open up and talk to yourself and talk to Christ about the weakness you have to overcome it, it will own you. Conversion to Christianity does not instantly solve all your problems. When you raise your hand to say, I want to be a follower of Christ, does not eliminate all your battles. It introduces a spiritual warfare in your life. It can result in problems that you've never even had before. Oftentimes when our faith grows and our walk in Christ becomes greater and we learn Christ at another level, we realize that we have been slaves to sin for a long time, thinking we were serving what was in our best interest, not realizing we were serving what was in the best interest of the devil. And when we realize this, we understand that, as I said earlier, the devil is not fighting unbelievers. He is not fighting those opposed to the gospel. Many times the question comes up, I don't understand. That individual lives an awful, horrible life, and he seems to have everything in the world. Money, notoriety, he's happy. He just seems to have it all. And this good person right here doesn't have anything. The devil is not fighting them. I imagine when those unfortunate souls are lost, when the lost leave their earthly time frame and are sent to hell, can you imagine the devil using the same words that Jesus Christ has used when he says, well done, faithful servant. You have advanced the kingdom of the devil. Well done. And it is scary because many will be twisted to believe that their life has done well. But there is hope to arise, and there is an army needed to understand that there is victory in Jesus Christ. That without Jesus Christ, we will never, ever gain victory over the sin and the evil in our life. Until we reach the end of ourselves, we will not look to God. For many, that term is associated with rock bottom. Until we hate sin, we will not turn from sin. Until we despise that of what we would do, we will not turn from. We must hate what we were to become a new creation in him and his supreme love that we should have for him. Just as being as an unsaved person must come to an end of themselves to receive God's provision, Christians have to come to the end of themselves once again to find the solution. Many will never turn to God for victory over sin because they do not recognize their true condition of living in sin and they do not take it serious enough. Many will never speak over spiritual warfare, not thinking that it affects them. And again, remind yourself, when you don't believe you're in a spiritual battle, imagine the devil encouraging you and cheering you on from the sidelines, because it opened the door for him to come inside. And Christ gave his life for this. Knowing the power of sin, knowing the natural way for us to go to sin as human beings, knowing that we are sinful creatures, Christ gave his life for this so that the outcome of man would not be death by sin, but eternal life through his provision and grace. When you go to Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He has made us strong. Not I have made myself strong. He has made us strong. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that it is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And hear me out, because this may be where you are in your life, in this season of your life. Not be tempted beyond your ability with Jesus Christ. You will not be tempted from beyond your ability. You can endure the trials that you face. You can endure what the devil will throw at you. You can fight the fight, but you can't fight it alone. You must fight it with the power that Jesus Christ provides in you. You can defeat the grip that sin will have in your life. He will provide the way of escape. His son died on a cross. And often we hear, pick up our cross and follow me. And understand, on that cross was death. And raised to life for freedom from sin. And when we gather on Easter, we will celebrate freedom from sin. Understand, it is not freedom from the spiritual war. It is not freedom from the forces of evil. It is freedom from the outcome of sin. When the voices enter doubt, when they enter fear, when they enter shame, they remind us all that we have ever done in our lives. They remind us all the times we came up short. They remind us all the ugly sins that we have. They remind us all the shame that we can have in our lives. It does incredibly good to do it, but remind yourself and the enemy all that Jesus Christ has done. Because what he done has done far supersedes what the devil has ever done. My encouragement is that we understand to gain ground, we have to stand our ground. That if we want to continue to gain ground personally and collectively as a body, we must stand the ground we've already gained, not give it back. Many times we hear, sometimes you may have seen it in TV, sometimes you hear it in local churches, you hear, rededicate my life to Christ. And when we hear that term, what it associates me with is this right here: the spiritual war defeated them. And they walked off the path. And they didn't take advantage of what was there, the power of Jesus Christ, to defeat it. And I'm going to ask you a series of questions. Where is the devil attacking you in your life? What is your weakness that he exposes? These are the reasons we should live together in community. The devil wants you to fight it alone. He doesn't want you to grab a hold of Jesus. He doesn't want your prayer to go up. He doesn't want you to grab someone from your small group. He doesn't want you to grab your brother or sister in Christ and speak to them about it. He wants you to fight it inside. He wants you to internalize this fight. James 5:16, confessing to one another, praying for one another. It wasn't mistakes what he wrote. He knew the battles we would face. He knew the way to escape it and the victory from it. But often when we talk about what is our weakness and how is the devil impacting us and how is the devil fighting us, it's embarrassing for us to speak about. Because I'm going to raise my hand to say, I am weak. But if we want to gain ground, we have to be able to stand on our weakness as high as we stand on the strength. That if we lessen the weakness, we will be exposed. And it parts right into the second question. Are you prepared to stand your ground? Are you prepared to where you are spiritually, where you are collectively in the kingdom of God, to understand how it comes together to advance the gospel? Are you willing to stand your ground that you've already gained in your life? Without the power of Christ, you will be defeated. You will live in depression. You will live in anxiety-ridden life. You will live in worthlessness in thought. You constantly live in doubt. Why me? Why this? You must fight the war with Christ. You must announce the weakness. You must stand your ground. You must remind yourself of the love that Jesus Christ has, because opposite of the devil does not love you. The devil wants to destroy you. And this third question that becomes extremely personal, are you winning or are you losing this war? There has to be a self-reflect. There has to be a time where we look at ourselves and see where we are spiritually. There has to be a time to look at what is gripping us, and am I fighting the fight with Jesus or am I not? Am I fighting it all on my own? Am I winning the war or am I becoming a follower of Satan without even knowing it? Little by little, you can gain ground in your life, spiritually and collectively. My hope is that you know that the devil will continue to attack you until he is thrown in the lake of fire, as stated in Revelation 20:10. He's not going anywhere until Jesus returns back. He's going to stay here and he is going to fight us. He is going to wage war against us. But there is victory in Jesus and there is power in Jesus to break through this. He is the only way. And for some of you, you probably have stories that are incredible up until this point in time of your life over the power of Jesus Christ in your life. Some of you have stories that we would call rock star testimonies, where it's like, holy cow, look where they were. And man, look who they are in Jesus Christ now. And it's the beauty of the gospel. It would be a great achievement of me to say, if I could say I stood on the power of Jesus Christ my entire life and fought the good fight for Jesus Christ, but I didn't. I served sin. I allowed the devil to get inside of me to just reward me with these incredible treasures of great performances at work. And it just continued to invent this person who worshiped everything but God. Whether I wanted to say that out loud or not, that was the case that being. And if we're not winning this war, it's not a time to stop fighting the war. It's a time to start fighting the war. If we're winning this war, we have to push forward. If we're losing the war, we have to continue to fight forward. We have to continue to gain ground little by little, inch by inch in our life, because there are people who need you. There are people who need me to walk with them in life. Leading into this, and I'm going to attempt to get through this one. My wife says, good, you're vulnerable. But a couple years back, before Pastor Daniel came up here, he was a pastor at Crossroads Church in Douglasville, Georgia. And they asked at Crossroads, would I come to a revival that was kind of high school ministry, young adults? And I said, absolutely. It was a Friday night message, a Saturday morning message, Saturday night message, and a Sunday morning message. Four different messages, and we were just rolling, man. And it was powerful to watch young men and women just sit in time of prayer for hours and just confess and repent and talk about becoming a new creation in Christ. An incredible time. And there was a young man who hopped in my truck that night. He rode with me. I dropped him off at his leader's house. And he said, man, I just want to be something different. I said, I feel you. I said, I wanted to be something different too one day. And I said, it's a walk. It is a walk with Christ that is lifelong. You will never reach the pinnacle until you leave this earth. And he just said, man, that's what I want to be. I want to grow up. I want to get a truck. He was in my eyes. I just want a family. I want this. Man, I want to just be serving Christ everywhere I go. 17-year-old young man. I said, dude, that is awesome, man. Went back to the house, and he just wanted to be prayed over all night. And we got back there all close to about 11:30, 11:45. The young man was prayed for till after 3 in the morning. Man, just tears and crying out just how much he wanted to love Christ with his life. I left that revival incredibly just in awe of how God moved in these young men and women's lives. And a couple months later, Daniel called me. He said, man, do you remember Jermaine? I said, absolutely. He rode in the truck with me. He said, man, he died today. And I was like, man, 17. And his heart just stopped working. Life is a vapor.
The enemy wants to destroy you. We wake up to incidents like Parkland, Florida, when the innocent lives of kids are being taken by the enemy. We wake up to suicide stories on the news. Innocent lives of kids are being taken. We have to fight the war. And it doesn't just take me, it doesn't just take you, it takes all of us. And it takes us personal ownership of becoming stronger. It takes us personal ownership of knowing Christ farther. It takes us announcing and not being scared to proclaim the gospel of Christ. 95% of Christians will never share their faith, but we want to advance the gospel. It's a personal war. It's a war that you can win with the power of Jesus Christ. And when you win the war, and when you win battles, and when you gain ground, you should announce it to the world the same way you announce your weakness to the world. Be proud that through your weakness, he will be made strong, and be proud that through your victory, he will get the glory. I'm going to pray for us this morning. And after prayer, we're going to come into a time of offering, and after offering, we're going to turn back to worship. But as I pray for you this morning, I want you to dig in. Speak to God. Let him know where you need his power. Let him know where your weakness stands so that you can announce it to him, so that through him you can be made strong. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord. We come to you, God, in just a time of announcement, Heavenly Father. We come to you in a time where we want to proclaim to you, Lord, that in our weakness you are made strong, God. We want to come to you that in our weakness you can push us through. And I pray that in the hearts in this room, Heavenly Father, that they will open the door wide for you to come in. That the one door they don't want to open because it's embarrassing, God, that they will open it and realize that's why your son died on the cross, to put it all on the cross, Heavenly Father. To receive breakthrough from the grip of sin. To receive the power that only your name has, God. I pray for the lives, just as I prayed for young Jermaine, Heavenly Father, that they will become a new creation in you, God. And Lord, I want to pray for those out today that maybe have never asked you to go into a relationship with God. Maybe a moment for them that they will start a relationship with you, Heavenly Father. And if there's any in this room that have never started a relationship, just repeat these words after me, understanding this is the start to say, God, I know you're there and I know you're real, and I want this to be the start of something that I find my abundant life in Christ. And repeat after me, whether out loud or underneath, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Please forgive me for my sins. Please let me walk with you in your power. Let me walk with you in a life living for Christ. And God, I just pray a blessing over all these beautiful people here today, Lord. I pray that we continue to gain a warrior spirit, God. Prepare to advance your gospel, Lord. Prepare to continue to move personally into knowing you greater, and continue to advance collectively into letting other people know about you. And God, I'm thankful for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Man.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.